your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I could not be more excited to have a Gab Sesh episode this week. This feels like when you have plans with a friend, and you're like, oh, we can like go out and do all this stuff, or we can just hang out on one of our couches, watch a movie we've been dying to see, and just eat popcorn and gab all night. And that is what this Gab Sesh is. I just want to catch up with my podcast friends and tell them everything that's been going on. Because since I went on my Alaska cruise, like, I've been home for a few weeks, there's a lot happening, and I feel like we have a lot to discuss, I have a lot to catch you up on, and I just want to chit-chat with you. That's really all I want. And we're going to talk about the group trip later in this episode. I know that the whole episode is going to be like the intro, but I am recording this minutes after I just got home from hanging out with Becky of Mouse Fan Travel. We met up while she was in Hollywood. We hung out for an hour and a half because the two of us cannot stop chit-chatting. And it just got me so excited for a group trip because I just want to be with all of you in person. I just want to hang out and just have all of us be in a special place together. I cannot wait. We will get into it later in this episode, but that's all I had to share. Oh, I'm so excited. I also just had a bite of one of my favorite pastries in LA. We got into another like updated LA guide in the future, but this place Clark Street, they have a really good cardamom bun, which I ate half of this morning and then I scrolled away a little bit and I just had a treat. It's delicious. If you're ever in LA, I think there's a few of them. I go to the one on Larchmont. It is busy. It is very busy and you got to get there earlier in the morning to get the bun. Though I went today at like 9 a.m., 9:30, 10, and they had loads of them. So I think they got the message that they got to keep them in stock because they're that good. It really makes me want to go to, I want to go to like Sweden or like Copenhagen or like, I want to go somewhere where there's just coffee and like cardamom buns and pastries and you can just hang out at a cafe and then like be around with your kids and like hang out. That's like the vacation I'm craving right now. If you can't tell, I have many thoughts that might bring me a lot to talk about this week, but I'm going to go. The intro has to end at a certain point. I will turn it over to Becky, which, by the way, I hope you guys are enjoying those segments of Becky and I. We just felt like it was a much better format than me being like, here's a discount. Like, coming straight from Becky. Becky knows it. Instead of playing telephone, we can just play the version of telephone where I get to talk to my friend Becky, who I appreciate and adore, is an incredible businesswoman, and she gets to tell us how to save money at theme parks. It just feels very win-win. So if you guys are liking it, let me know. If you're not liking it, also let me know. I think it's pretty fun. And also, I never talk about these parks discounts and these resort discounts, and I think it's really helpful to have an expert in the field come on every month and tell us, you know? Like, I love to save money, and I want y'all to save money. So to me, it works great. Okay, I'm gonna go have one more bite of the cardamom bun. I will be right back. Stick around for these words from Becky and I, and also a really juicy gab sesh. Stay tuned. We're talking about a lot of stuff in this one. Ooh, it's gonna be good. And now a quick chat about current Disney discounts and promotions with our travel agent partner, Becky Menken of Mouse Fan Travel. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Carly. It's so good to hear from you again.
I know. I feel like we're pen pals. We're like business pen pals. It's so good to see you, though.
It's good to see you, too. It's been a whirlwind for me, though, as you probably know. I just did an Adventures by Disney to Japan.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing. And it's my second time on that itinerary. It was so great. And then I hopped over to Europe, believe it or not, and I escorted a group cruise with Royal Caribbean, which included like Copenhagen and Rotterdam. It was just amazing. And I'm not sure what time zone I'm in or exactly what day it is right now, but I do know in a few days I leave for another Adventures by Disney to Southern California. I'm going to go and do one that hits Disney Studios and Imagineering and, of course, Disneyland. So I'm so excited about that.
I've done that one and it's awesome.
It's amazing. And going to Imagineering, you kidding? Going shopping in Imagineering at Mickey's of Glendale? That's totally on it. But speaking of Adventures by Disney, did you know that right now they do have a really cool offer for select 2026 and 2027 land adventures? If you book by July 31st, they're doing two promos. You can save up to $500 per person on international land adventures like Italy or Japan. Ooh. Or Ireland, Iceland, London, all of the international destinations, or save up to $400 per person on select North and Central America land like Costa Rica and Wyoming. So a lot of opportunity. If you've done the theme parks a lot, there's another place where you can enjoy the Disney flair that we love and the service and the adventure. So Adventures by Disney's got a great opportunity for you. But if you are really wanting like one of those tropical beverages with an umbrella in it, Alani's got you.
Ooh,
They
okay,
got
tell me
your
what's going
back.
on in Alani, because I've had the Alani itch lately and I kind of want to know what the deal is.
All I think about with Alani is that lazy river, a drink in the lazy river. But right now, if you travel from October 20th to December 23rd, you can save up to 30% on stays of 5 or more consecutive nights, or 25% on stays of 4 consecutive nights.
Whoa.
That's a lot of money if you're, especially at that saving 30% off. So there's a lot of deals to be had there if you can go from that October to December timeframe.
And a ton of holiday breaks in there. Like you got Thanksgiving, you got some schools have fall break. Even if you do what I do,
Exactly.
which is that you travel on the like a little before the holidays, because what else is going on? No one's
I
doing
know.
anything at work the week before, and
You're
you
just
go
like
early.
staring at me. All you're doing is you're shopping online to make sure you get all of those extra gifts, right?
Yeah,
That's
and
what
you can
we
do that
do.
while looking at the lazy river.
Exactly.
Thanks so much, Peggy. I can't wait to hear the rest. Welcome back to our gab sesh. Oh, I'm so excited. I have so much I have to tell you about. I mean, there's things we're not even going to discuss, like me temporarily cutting out milk. Do you know how hard it is for me to not drink skim milk? I have an ice skim latte every single day of my freaking life, and I'm out here getting an Americano with oat? Who am I? Someone who drinks oat milk? It's very, very strange to me, but I've been having a lot of tummy issues, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to a bunch of specialists. We will figure it out, but it might be tied to dairy. And if I have to give up dairy, I'm gonna be really sad. I also am finishing my rewatch of The Big Bang Theory. I will not make you listen to The Big Bang Theory. I will not make you listen to Big Bang Theory chat in this podcast. I won't do it, but while I was finishing the final season, which I am finishing, and then I'm gonna reread my friend Jessica Radloff's book, which I think is the best journalistic work of the decade. Truly, like Jessica is an unbelievable reporter and put together an oral history of our last great American sitcom. It is fantastic. I'm gonna reread it, not once the show's fresh in my brain again, but I was thinking like, maybe we should try to have Bill Prady on the show. Bill Prady is the co-creator with Chuck Lorre of The Big Bang Theory, but Bill Prady also did Muppet Vision 3D and also could like worked on a lot of Muppet stuff, like one of the TV shows that was on recently. So I think, I don't know, I planted a seed after watching that much Big Bang and seeing Bill's name in the credits, being like, that feels like a good fit, doesn't it? I think I'm gonna pursue it. I'm actually gonna write it down on my new to-do list. You know what? I'll do it later. I think we do need to keep that in mind because how fun would that be? And then I would have a reason to talk about the Big Bang Theory on this podcast, which I won't do because we have so much else to discuss, including that I went to Disneyland and I really didn't tell anyone. I went with my mom and my dad. We went for a full day. I've never taken Pearl for that long. Oh, Pearl was also there. The four of us went. It was a I don't want to say a perfect day because, you know, it's when it's hot out and you're at Disney, like there's a lot going on. Bringing a toddler, it's not easy. But we had everything broke our way that day. We went on July 2nd, and I'm telling you, it was so good that I will never not check a crowd calendar again. I know many months ago I was like, I don't even use them anymore. I just look at ticket prices. Like that to me is the most accurate crowd calendar. I'm out here saying, don't listen to old me. Check everything. Check crowd calendars, check the prices, see how things line up because you can find little pockets where the crowds feel a little retro. They feel a little better than they used to be. And July 2nd was fantastic, was truly fantastic. Lines for rides were like 10 to 30 minutes. The rides I'm going on, I don't know what they were for like big thrill rides, but I did walk past Rise of the Resistance at one point and saw there was a 45-minute wait, which I don't think my human eyes have ever seen. I don't think I've ever walked past in the middle of the day and been like, 45 minutes? 45 minutes. Absolutely bonkers to me. It's summer. It's summer. It was July 4th week. Truly, like, y'all, like, maybe go to the parks. Like, it might be a good idea. Okay, I don't want to go chronologically, but we got so lucky on traffic. I think because people were out of town for the holiday, driving through an empty-ish LA. Heaven. It took us an hour to get there, even with their like 20 minutes of a slowdown on the freeway, which is LA talk. I know I'll get past it. I parked at Pixar Pals, which I always do, pulled right in, found a parking spot immediately. We walked, we went through security, nobody in line. I didn't do tram security, there's always a line there, but we walked right in. We took the monorail in, which I never do because breaking down a stroller is a non-negotiable unless I have three adults, which I did. We took the monorail in, which was lovely. My mom loved doing that with Pearl. We went on Small World. We went on, I'm gonna go out of order because I can't remember anything. We met Snow White in this like exceptional meet and greet by her, by like the wishing well and the Snow White fountain to the right of the castle. There wasn't a character handler there. So like it was like a minute long interaction. I watched the video back because Pearl keeps wanting to watch it. And I can hear in the video, like my camp counselor, like Disney brain, keeps saying, I said two or three times, I was like, Pearl, do you want to take a picture with Snow White? Like trying to move the interaction along so other people in line could go. And Snow White just kept talking, just kept pushing the conversation. So I listen, my hands are clean. If you were in the line, I apologize. I was trying to speed it up, but it was like a magical meet and greet. We went on the Snow White attraction. The one bad part was that we got in line for Peter Pan and it shut down, which was fine. We ended up going on Alice in Wonderland. We went on teacups. We went on Winnie the Pooh. We went on Pirates. We stopped to chat with my friend Heather, who was in the park. We stopped to chat with my friend Nene, who was also in the park. It was his birthday. We went to Plaza Inn, which I never do anymore. And I gotta tell you, if you work at Disney accounting, fast forward about 30 seconds. Do me a huge favor. Just fast forward. Don't listen. It's fine. You don't need to know what I'm about to say. We checked out and my dad was like, is it me or was that like pretty cheap? We got big platters of food. And I really haven't been back to Plaza Inn since before the pandemic because you used to be able to go and buy one piece of chicken. And that was my hack. I'd spend like $4.50. I'd get a big old chicken breast and that would be my protein. It was easy peasy done. Now you have to get the whole spread, the three pieces of chicken with the vegetables, with the potatoes. And I'm not out here really wanting mashed potatoes on a hot day. But they opened at noon and we were walked up at like 12:01. And we were like, cool, it's lunchtime. We walked in, we got a table inside. It was no stress. Our entire meal with my annual pass discount. So I got a salmon plate, two fried chicken plates, and my dad got a carrot cake, was under $70. I think it was like $62. Or something like that. Like each of our platters of food was around and possibly less than $20, which is kind of wild if you think about it, because that feels like real world affordable, not even Disney affordable. I mean, a pretzel with cheese is like eight something, I think, and I could get half a chicken and like sit and enjoy my meal. It was lovely. Also, I noticed the soda fountains in there have a water tap and a soda tap. Like, you know, I'm not out here getting like 7-Up and acting like, you know, like buy, like taking a regular cup and getting 7-Up and not paying for it. But soda water is in that liminal space where it's like kind of low key okay because it's just water with bubbles. It's not a soda. It's not like it's not a branded product. It's just soda water. So you can like go there and get like a big old meal and get your seltzer and it's like $20 or less if you have an annual pass. I'm just saying, oh, if you're an accountant and you're back, welcome back. Aha. I hope you didn't hear any of that. But truly, like, what a steal. And that was the vibe of the whole day. It was beautiful out. It was a little hot, but it was totally fine. Like, we just had a really nice time. It was really nice. There is one thing I will complain about, though, because we are among friends. And that is that I got a space coffee, okay? I got a cold brew black calf. I got, you know, the one with the little cereal on top and the cream and the coffee. I was so tired. We were all like, by 2 o'clock, we were like, oh no, did we go home? And then they took a rest, so they rejuvenated. I went and I was like, I gotta get caffeine because I'm driving. Like, I gotta stay alert driving in Los Angeles traffic. So I went and I got a cold brew and I left Docking Bay and I walked the back path and I finished this cold brew by the time I got to Rise of the Resistance. Like, I got a little, I didn't even, I'd say like, not even in the next land. Like, I was still walking past the Rise queue and I was out of coffee. And I was like, how is this even possible? I'm not chugging it. And then I looked at the cup and the cup was entirely ice. Now, what I will say, the drink was like $7. And now that I'm looking at everything through fried chicken economics, wow, Ashley really taught me a lot. Now that I'm looking at everything, I'm like, that's a lot of money. I will say it did caffeinate me enough to get through the rest of the day. I felt fantastic, but that's not a lot of coffee. Like, the entire cup was ice. I didn't even enjoy it for more than about 4 minutes. It's just kind of a bummer, you know? Like, I got this thing that I was so excited to get and it was just instantly gone. It was kind of, I was upset about it. I didn't post a video. I like didn't post anything, but I just thought it was kind of, you know, kind of bleh. I don't like those Disney bleh feelings, but otherwise the rest of the day was great. We did a bunch of rides. Took the monorail back. Traffic was on our side on the way home. It was a really, really good day. And reminds me that I do kind of like the weird, wacky way I visit the park where I go and I do a few things and I come home. And it also did remind me that my advice is still true, that if you are going with a young kid, only focus on one, possibly two things you absolutely want to do, and it really reshapes the way you have your day. Because a lot of times you're buying a ticket, you have all this pressure, you have these lightning lanes, you're like so focused on doing too much. There is a lot of mental load when it comes to visiting a theme park, especially with family, especially with children. And for us, it was like, we have to go on It's a Small World. We have to, It's a Small World is the one thing we absolutely have to do today. And then we'd also really like to go on at least two other rides. And we were able to do all of that. So when we left, we could have left a few hours earlier and still felt good, like we did enough. And I'm really grateful that we framed it that way and that we were able to kind of do everything. I mean, Pearl did nap at like 6:30 p.m. and it was not pretty when we got home. But regardless, it was fantastic. It was a really nice day, and I'm really glad I got to go to Disneyland with my family and just kind of get that in. Now, since then, we came home. It was the middle of the week. We were exhausted for 2 days after. I don't know why. I don't know why Disneyland sucked it out of me. I guess it's the heat. But I've been realizing, like, it's hot at all of these parks. I mean, think about it. Hong Kong, hot. Japan, real hot in the summer. Florida, hot. Disneyland, hot. Like, Shanghai, hot. Like, they're all like hot, 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 hot. And it's just kind of like, oh, there's no way to escape this never ending heat. And I'm not going to go on a rant saying that they need to be designing for this in the future, because they're not. Like, there should be misting stations. You should be walking through like a misting tunnel when you go into any of these lands. That's what I think. But it is like, oh no, like I would love to go to these parks, and that stretch of time when you're hot is just expanding and expanding and expanding. And it really makes me miss, oh, like January, February at Disneyland is just something good. Okay, straight up, we got to talk about Tom Sawyer Island. Tom Sawyer Island closed at Disney World, and it's affecting me more than I thought it would. It really is, because again, this is an attraction I did not spend time on. Like, I didn't go out of my way to go to Tom Sawyer Island. I'm here for rides. I'm here to be on the mainland. I don't want to be taking a vessel somewhere else. I already took transportation to get here to the Magic Kingdom. So for me, it was always something I loved looking at, but it was not really a priority. It was not something that I thought emotionally resonated with me. But every time I think about the fact that it's closing, my stomach turns. Like, genuinely, it makes my tummy feel bad. It makes it like flip over. And it's not from the dairy, okay? I'm not having dairy issues, but it really has like kind of affected me in a way I didn't expect. And I, by the time this podcast came out, I may have written about this on Instagram. I kind of was just trying to gather my thoughts today. And because the closure is happening a couple days before you hear this, I may have already said some of this. But essentially, like, I kept thinking about why this is upsetting me, and I realized what it is. And I'm curious if some of you feel the same way. I think for me, it's not that I like, oh, I want it to still be there. Like, oh, I always wanted to, like, I love to go to Tom Sawyer Island. And it's also, it's not even like the decision that Disney is getting rid of water. I think water features are so important to the placemaking of a theme park to make these lands feel real. I do personally fear what the new land will make the surrounding lands feel like. How will Liberty Square feel when the view outside is different? Like, this is really a showpiece area that a lot of multiple other lands played off of. Like, everything from Haunted Mansion all the way to Big Thunder plays off of the visuals of this waterfront. And so I am really curious about how this new land will reflect that, how it'll make the other spaces feel around it. And that's not even the thing that's getting me sad. Like, you'd think I'd be sad about them removing something that's so scenic, but that's not what's nagging at me. It was something else. And it wasn't even nostalgia. Again, I have no memories really tied to this except for the one time I brought Pearl to be like, we got to get those pics because it's closing. Like, I never really have anything emotional tied to it. And I realized what it is that's upsetting me. And it all goes back to the issue. Oh my God, this is a podcast, not a magazine. It all goes back to the episode I did with Andrew Barth Feldman a few weeks ago about Muppet Vision 3D closing. And that episode, if you've listened to it, if you haven't, go listen to it. Like, that episode could exist nowhere else. Like, that exists nowhere else on the internet. Me and one of the most talented performers in the world talking about the song that he felt compelled to write because of his disenfranchised grief over a Muppets attraction closing. Like, that's very amusing for you. So that episode has just been like sticking in my head a little tied to this. And I realized, like, what we said in that episode kind of applies to this too. It's that while we love these parks, like it does cause us a lot of grief, and it like helps us process the different stages of grief and like this trauma over things closing. And I kept thinking like the Muppets, me being upset about the Muppets makes sense. It's a franchise I love. That's an area of the park in a park I don't really visit. Like that's the area I spend most of my time in. It's something I like all these other reasons were shadowing it. But I realized for Tom Sawyer Island, it's not the actual island closing that upsets me. It's the fact that specifically here at this park, Tom Sawyer Island is the background to so many of our memories. So many of our memories. I'm talking everything from like a parade route, waiting in line for Haunted Mansion. Like there was a time I was waiting in line and the riverboat went and it woke Pearl up as a baby. Like Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, like having the views. It's just, it is the background to so many of our memories. And I kept thinking like, then why is this bothering so much? It's just tied to these memories. I don't have any exact issue with it. And I really believe that for people who care about Disney parks, Disneyland, Disney World, these parks have become this kind of like geolocation for our memories. And if you think about it, like a lot of the memories from when you grow up and a lot of things can be thrown in the nostalgia bucket. And I don't think that is what's happening here. I think it's that a lot of times your memories, like think of your childhood, you think of a house that you may have lived in that you no longer live in. You may think about an elementary school that you can no longer access. You can't like walk right in an elementary school. And also like you're an adult, you can't just go in there. You might think about a camp, a day camp, an overnight camp, places that you can't really access. Maybe, you know, your family downsizes, your grandparents sell the house, move to a condo, or possibly move into assisted living, schools remodel. Like everything keeps changing. The world keeps turning. Cities and storefronts and restaurants close and open and change and improve and remodel. And things are constantly moving. And that's true at Disney parks too. But Disney World and Disneyland as a whole, like the general outline of them, somehow remains the same. Like they may build new hotels, they may knock things down, they may revamp rides, they may add new lands, but there are areas in many of these parks that never change. Like Main Street USA, I was thinking about this a lot, and like Main Street USA at Magic Kingdom, they're never gonna open like a fancy new modernized hamburger joint with Canva menus. They're never gonna close the family-run neighborhood diner. Here, when you are in Main Street, time intentionally stops. And I say intentionally because that's how this was designed. These are theme parks. These are areas which are locked in time. They are locked in a story because story drives everything that the Walt Disney Company does. And so something like Tom Sawyer Island, Rivers of America, Liberty Square Riverboat, these are things that are locked in time. These are attractions, I would even go as far as to say anchor attractions, where time stands still. They're never adding something new and modernized to Tom Sawyer Island. Like these are places that have been locked in story and locked in time and things that we never thought we'd have to say goodbye to. So it's not just the shock of them changing. It's the fact that they really were the background to so many of our memories. And if you think about it as much as I have, which is way too much, I've been thinking about this all day. I'm not kidding. I'm thinking about this for hours. I've been trying to unpack why I'm bothered by this, why opening my phone and seeing videos of it closing, like why it's making me feel bleh. Like not the same as a regular closure where I'm disappointed or I'm also like, I'm disappointed, but I'm also optimistic about what could come because new experiences are coming. This one feels different. And I think that ambiguity and that kind of emptiness comes from the fact that so many other memories, other moments we've had, other nostalgia, not for these areas specifically, but nostalgia for other things in the parks are tied to this inexplicably and in a way that I didn't anticipate. Like going forward, when I look at photos or videos or a lot of things from Magic Kingdom in a big chunk of the park, I'm going to be reminded that this area no longer exists in multiple lands. Like if you've ever taken a family photo in the stocks, you know, like the stocks we put your hand, that's what it's called, right? We put your hands and your head in it, like that. If you've ever taken a photo in Liberty Square, if you've ever eaten at any of those restaurants, like everything is kind of reflected back through the lens of this because it was there. It was there at the time. And now whenever we revisit these photos, these videos, these VHSs, like anytime we look back, our brain has to accept like, oh, that's different now. Oh, that's different now. And it's such a big footprint that touches so much of that park that memory just kind of like, I don't know. When you look at a photo, you look at an old video, you're kind of able to just enjoy it as is. But if the parks have changed, your Disney parks brain goes, oh, that's not there anymore. Oh, that's different. And that kind of that jarring, the grab where it pulls you out of the memory, it reminds you that time is always moving forward and you have to remember how much things have changed and how life, like your life from the time of those photos, from those videos has changed so much, and how some of the people that you probably visited with are no longer there, and how some people who you visit with now weren't there before, and the two may have never known each other. And it's just all of these thoughts about life and growth and time and existence and aging that now, because Tom Sawyer Island and Rivers of America are no longer there, you have to think through when you're merely looking at a family photo. And I know that sounds Looney Tunes. I know that sounds like way too much. That sounds like way too much for simply looking at a photo. But when you change a big area of an iconic theme park like this, that is kind of the runoff of the change. It's not what you expect. I thought I'd be like, you know, I don't go to Tom Sawyer Island that much. It doesn't bother me. You know, I'm bothered by the water being taken away visually. I think that's a kinetic energy you don't want to get rid of. That's not the thing that's holding me up. It's the fact that, like, the ripple effect of all of my memories that I've ever had, all of the photos, like all of that is now being bounced off this change in a way that I didn't anticipate. Because while we have big land changes and big ride changes, we've experienced a lot of change in the past 10 years. Like, we have really, really gone through it as Disney Parks fans. This one hits different. And it's really strange because usually if I'm affected by a closure or a change, it's a property I am emotionally tied to, something I am invested in, something I love. And this feels different. It feels different because it feels like it shifts so much of not of what's to come, but so much of our prior experiences, so much of what we've felt about the parks in the past. And rarely to me does a change at the parks kind of reframe decades of memories. And it's really interesting to get down to what I'm bothered about by, because that's what it is. It's that whenever I look at a photo, I'm going to go, oh, right. Oh, right, that's not there. Oh, right, that's changed. Oh, right, we are so much older. Oh, right, this family trip could never happen again. And I think that the weight of that is so heavy and it's not being acknowledged enough. I'm curious if you all feel the same way about this. I know many of us aren't out here like standing Tom Sawyer Island to the ends of the earth. It was a beautiful space, like those rocking chairs looking at Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, sick view. But it's, you know, it's something a lot of us do. Kids like to run around there. It's a great place to just like have a view, take a load off, to go on the boat. Great. But it's really, that's not what's bothering me. It's kind of just the retrospect of all of it is what I'm hung up on. And I've been pretty hung up on it. And it's just, it's a lot of change. And for this one, it really sticks out a lot to me. Stick around. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more. Really important in adulthood to know what you are good at and what you're a real, real bad at. I am real, real bad at all things cooking. I cannot handle a grocery list. I send texts to myself and I'm like, oh, don't forget ginger. It's been weeks since I've gotten ginger. There's no ginger in my house. I send my husband to do that. I do some of the cooking, and let me tell you, it's not cute. It's just a bunch of rice and then whatever I put together. But every time I have an every plate shipment, every single time, I'm cooking out real meals. I made the most beautiful quesadilla the other week. It was phenomenal. I was like walking around the house proud of myself, like, look what I did with every plate. And it's just because with every plate, you get restaurant level deliciousness week after week with unbelievable recipes. They got stuff like crispy buffalo ranch chicken, cheesy Mexican street corn hash, not the stuff you'd expect to make. Like, I would expect chicken and vegetables, but no, they have restaurant quality recipes that, and they break it down and make it easy for you. Because when you order every plate, the world is truly your oyster. You will spend less on these flavor-packed homemade meals than you would on normal groceries or a restaurant because they send pre-portioned ingredients. It is amazing. If you're tired of cooking the same things over and over, they'll up your dinner game in 30 minutes or less with easy to follow recipes. I can't do math. I'm no good at science. I can barely cook. I know how, like, even turning on the stove, we have an old stove, it's kind of a situation. With every plate, it's no problem. I have enjoyed my EveryPlate delivery so much because when they arrive, I know I have one less thing to worry about. Actually, like seven less things to worry about because then I can cook for myself, my husband, my kid. I don't have to get groceries. I know I have food in the fridge and I'm not just eating like the dust in the bottom of a granola bag for dinner. Like truly, EveryPlate will change your life as much as it has mine. So what are you waiting for? Dig into these flavor-packed meals your household will love. New customers can enjoy a special offer of only $1.99 a meal. Oh my God, that's really good. Go to everyplate.com/podcast and use code AMUSING199 to get started. Applied as a discount on the first box, limited time only. That's everyplate.com/podcast and use code AMUSING199. Hoo, baby, it is summertime. Your legs are about to be stuck to a booth at a deli. That's what happened to me today. And that's how I know my jeans are officially out the door for the next 3 to 4 months. They're on sabbatical. And thankfully, because it's just giving me more room in my wardrobe to stock up on summer goods. That's where Quince comes in. Because I like to keep my items for years and years and years. And Quince, their clothes are timeless. They feel luxurious. They look elevated. And the quality is so good. I wear my Quince shorts. I'm always talking about my Quince shorts. I wear my Quince shorts every 3 days. I have a few pairs. I have black, and I have purple. And so I wear black and purple, and then I do laundry, and then I wear them again. I wear them constantly. And I gotta tell ya, you wouldn't know that I've been wearing them every day for years, for literal years. That's what Quince provides. We're talking 100% European linen tops starting at $30. Washable silk dresses and skirts. Everything you need to pack for a vacation that's an hour away or a big old flight. And the best part is, everything with Quince is half the cost of similar brands. Quince also only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Take it from me! I love their bike shorts, and you should too. I know I'm always talking about bike shorts, but if you haven't tried these bike shorts, I'm telling you, they're elite. The price is fantastic. The quality is stellar, and it's my personal uniform. I like dress a little different when I go to theme parks. When I'm at home, I'm wearing bike shorts and a big t-shirt, and I wore it to a theme park the other day. Let me tell you, it was heaven. Quince really, they provide reliable, wonderful summer clothes at an affordable price that you can wear year after year after year. That's all you need from your summertime wardrobe. So give your closet an upgrade before the heat wave arrives and you got nothing to wear. And you can do that all with Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns, a procrastinator's dream. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing. And if you haven't tried the bike shorts, try them. I love them. I have a child now, which means one thing for my everyday life. I cannot get my hands on enough berries. But thank goodness there's a solution, because the best red raspberries they sell in this country, plump, sweet, naturally delicious, are available in the freezer aisle, thanks to the glory of Washington Red Raspberries. Oh yeah, we got the Big Berry account, y'all, so listen up, because I have some very important things to say about this. I'm actually very passionate about frozen fruit, because when you freeze fruit, it retains all of its nutrients, and they're picked at peak ripeness and frozen hours later, so it's actually like a genius way, and it's more economical, and it's easier to have access to berries in your home. Like, this is not a joke. I was born to talk about raspberries, and that's exactly what we're gonna do. But anyway, I have a child, so I'm constantly having this berry-based power struggle in my house. But with frozen Washington red raspberries, we all win. I'm out here housing nutrients like vitamin C and fiber by plopping them in my overnight oats, baking little muffins for the house with them. My daughter's getting American-grown frozen raspberries in her daily smoothie because she has the diet of a Gen Z Erewhoner, but we're only doing that inside our house. We have a healthy addition to all of our meals, and I don't have to run out or go to the market because I have them in my house, in my freezer, ready to go whenever I need fresh fruit. American-grown frozen raspberries are fresh, juicy, and full of flavor. They're good for gut health. They're good for blood sugar. I mean, they're friggin' raspberries. How can you not love a ripe raspberry? And when you buy American-grown frozen raspberries, look for product of US on the bag. That's how you know you got the right one. You're getting fresh flavor all year long, without that sadness of taking a carton out of the fridge and realizing they've gone all mushy. No mush here! So if you want to join in and find these delicious little berries, head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. There you'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations like Kroger and Costco. Fun fact, you can find these in Costco, but you can also find them in the Kirkland Signature 3-Berry Blend. They got the good raspberries! And on that website, you'll find everything you need to make naturally delicious frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine. That's redraz.org. Happy berry eating! Disneyland wasn't the only significant trip of the past week, because I gotta tell you, there's two things and they intertwine that I want to tell you about. I drove my parents back to the airport and I was like, you know what? It's a quiet weekend after the 4th of July. Why don't I just take my kid to the beach for a minute? And then today I drove to Hollywood to meet up with Becky, and I hung out with her, and I hung out with Lou Mangiello of WDW Radio, who you all probably know about. And I went to Hollywood just to a hotel just to hang out with them for like an hour and a half before I came home to do this. And both of these experiences truly like have unlocked something in my brain that began by watching an Instagram video last week that I swear has altered my brain chemistry and my entire outlook on life. Now, the creator is named Sierra Campbell. I will share this in the show notes. I watched truly one of their videos and was like, oh, you're going to be the most famous influencer in the entire world in a year. They were just like, the algorithm shoved them to me, and I'm so grateful, because they have this unbelievable series where they basically decide to treat their kids like tourists. Like her perspective is, what if I treat my daughter like she's a friend visiting from out of town? Which I think is so genius, because it not only gets you over that hump of like, oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, I don't go there. Oh, I don't want to do that. Which like Hollywood and the beach are equivalents for an LA person. But it really got me out of my own head to be like, not only when I'm with my kid to be like, oh, this is something they've never experienced, they would like, but for myself specifically, whether I'm with friends or with her or solo, to get me to do things I wouldn't usually do because I would make these excuses not to. Typically, I'd be like, oh, my friend's at a Hollywood hotel. I don't go to Hollywood. Or like, I don't, you know, well, I don't really go downtown. I don't really go to this area. There's like definitely versions of this for no matter where you live, where you're like, oh, that's touristy, that's played out. And it really made me realize that, reminded me, because I think of this in terms of Disney all the time, but I don't always think of this outside of the Disney sphere, which is that like touristy stuff does affect your brain in a different way. Like just, I was 10 minutes from my house. I went to the Lowe's Hollywood Hotel, and just being there and seeing people on vacation while like still wearing the air conditioning from when I just got out of the car just really made my brain be like, oh my God, like I live in a place that people put time and effort into visiting. Like, this is my city. And even though I wouldn't choose to go to that area of Hollywood, like, oh, right. Like, this is something to be grateful for. Like, it really reminded me of how special of a city I live in. And same with just going to the beach. I never go to the beach. If you guys live near a beach, you might go more often. When I lived in Chicago, I worked at the beach. I was a camp counselor, not to brag, but I spent a lot of time at the beach. And when I got older, it's like something I never prioritized doing when I go back home. But it's like, oh yeah, like those things, it's still very special to do stuff that isn't in your normal routine, even if it's not a vacation, even if it's not driving very far, but just doing something a little different from your normal routine can feel so nice. And I love that this creator like planted a seed in my head where I'm like, oh yeah, I might think of an excuse for why I shouldn't do this, but maybe a friend I go with might like it. Maybe it might be fun. Maybe it might be silly. Maybe it'll just like throw me out of my regular routine and my regular spots. And it really felt good. Like it just, I realized like driving away from the hotel after hanging out with Becky, like I just was like, wow, that was really nice. It was really nice to be in a different environment than I am used to, even if it's not one I would typically go out of the way to do. And I just think that's, I don't know, it just struck me as like worth discussing, because I never really think that way. I think to have fun, you have to like go on a vacation. You have to fly somewhere. You have to travel. And like, no, you can have fun in your backyard constantly all the time, even if it's just the people you're with and not even the place you're in. And it really just kind of shook my brain up and made me think differently. And I was visiting Becky and Lou because they are having a group ABD. I think that's the best way to explain it. They're having an Adventures by Disney trip that they booked themselves. It's a private group. It's like a bunch of Lou Mangiello's listeners and his audience. And it's so cool because basically his audience got together, signed up for this Adventures by Disney trip. And now they're all traveling through Los Angeles, going to Walt Disney Imagineering, going to the studios, shopping at the stores, going to Disneyland. They're all doing it together as a group. And it just... it was so cool to like see people check in and have so much fun and everyone's so excited. And it just made me so excited for the group trip. Now, group trip, or Amusapalooza, as I plan on calling it, is happening. And it's happening in 2026. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that, but people were really worried. I know people were like, I mean, it's July. I completely get it. I should have said something outright, but I'm like not really supposed to say anything about any dates ever. So it is something that is happening. We are hard at work on it. And it just, a lot of it is like me planning stuff at home, trying to make sure things are the right fit. Because if you guys are flying somewhere for an event that I am planning, it has to be 1000% worth you spending your money and your time. You know me, you know this is how I am. And so just making sure that I can have that guarantee when other things like, you know, weather, closures, spaces, like things are all kind of in flux, I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself to make sure that you have a wonderful time, essentially. That is my main goal. And I want to do weird, wacky stuff. And a lot of times that is hard to do at a place that doesn't make it easy to do weird, wacky stuff. So I'm kind of doing this, you know, square peg in a round hole situation, trying to make sure that everything feels authentic to what we want and feels authentic to kind of my version of the parks without being just a straightforward event that anybody could be at ever. So a lot of that is just, you know, me futzing, me trying to plan things, trying to push the boundaries here, trying to do this. I had one really good idea that seemed so sick that would have blown everyone's mind and it got squashed. That's all I'm going to say. It's not going to happen, which is really sad because it would have been so good. I'll keep trying every year. We'll try our best. But I'm basically trying to curate like a wonderful, wonderful little trip for everyone who is inclined to come. And I'm usually planning that at home, like thinking, not actually physically being in the space and being there and seeing Lou and his group trip. And like Becky is basically I don't want to call her travel agent czar, but like Becky is there to like make sure everything goes great. Becky and her team are in charge of all of like the booking and the planning for this whole trip. Cause it's like I think it's like you like book it all together. It's a whole thing. I'm not handling any logistics. I'm just handling all of the planning, overseeing it, and then executing it. They handle all the booking. And so seeing like being kind of like at a group trip that they were doing and how excited everyone was, it just really inspired me and made me so happy and so excited to make this group trip happen. I'm so excited. It will be at Disney World. We are figuring out the exact spaces and locations of things, which as you can imagine, it's basically planning a wedding. It's basically planning a wedding where the attendees paid to go. That's the best way to explain it. It's like the wedding has to be good. The wedding has to be good because like it has to be good. And so I'm working really hard to make sure it is exactly what we want. I have a ton of ideas. A lot of them I think I can execute. I'm doing my best. I'm just sworn to secrecy and not allowed to say anything. So if I've been quiet on the group trip front, that is why. I am so excited to share it with you. And I'm so excited for all of us to spend time together because that's really the best part. Like for me, starting the FOMALY was so special and unexpected because I just started that Facebook group because I'm like, everyone's DMing me about cold foam. We should just talk to each other. Like, why am I one-on-one-ing with everyone when we're all talking about the same thing? We should all be friends. Like, it's like when you have two friends who have similar interests and you're like, can the three of us hang out? Like, why are we annexing friendships here? Like, we should all be hanging out. We should all be chilling if we like the same stuff. That's kind of been my perspective on life forever. And so it's like inclusivity. And so it's just really nice to be like, oh, this is an opportunity for all of us to hang out in person, to share experiences at Disney World in person. And I am so excited about it. I can't say anything else. I can't say anything else, but I have like, okay, I guess, I can't say that. I have big ideas. I had really big ideas, which got shut down because they're not allowed. And then I had medium ideas, which two are slowly, we're churning forward with the medium ideas. And then I have a lot of like keepsake crafty ideas. That's all I'll say. To me, like, okay, and this is really dating me, but when I was in a sorority in college, keep in mind, I went to University of Illinois. It was the biggest Pan-Hellenic school in the world. We had the most sororities and fraternities in the entire world. So a lot of people were in them. I wasn't like walking around and matching outfits with my friends like, hey, girls. I was in a sorority with, I already knew half the people before I got in there, from home, from camp, from stuff like that. So it was like a very chill sorority. When I was in a sorority, when you get like your big sister or whatever, we got a bunch of stuff. Like we got a bunch of gifts, and it was the, maybe like the present giving highlight of my entire life. And it was just like, they took like Jessica, who was my big sister. She took like Sharpies and just wrote like my name and like different things on a bunch of objects. And while that's not what we're going to be, we're not going to be doing that. Or it's going to be better than that for the group trip. I just remember being so delighted to like walk away from this experience with like personalized special things that were given to me. And so I'm really hoping to, that's a bar I hope to meet and hopefully exceed when it comes to the group trip. I have, listen, I just want the best for everyone. So I'm really excited. I just think it's going to be great. Now, in terms of regular life stuff, I have been thinking a lot about it being 2025 and the fact that I don't even want to say this, we're more than halfway through the year. And this is a real reevaluation point. Like we have about 6 months left, and I keep thinking, and I'm really focused on how I'm reevaluating the way I move through the world, the way, like the pinch points in my daily life. I spend a lot of this effort thinking that way for theme parks, but not often for my own life and my own existence. And I'm really trying to be better. I'm trying to be better about the things that I'm knowingly bad at and still do anyway. And I zoomed out, I paused, I looked at it, and I realized I'm kind of failing at a few things in my life. One is taking care of my health, which I am, you know, I didn't get an iced latte. That is the first step. I am working on it. I made doctor appointments. We're taking care of it. Another is that I'm pretty disorganized in my business. Hi. Yeah, this business. I am not an organized person. My podcast schedule is basically like a big ambiguous blob that I play off of vibes with. My schedule is not as determined by like, it should be like analytics or like what podcasts perform best. And like, that's what a lot of other thinkers would do for a podcast business. Instead, I'm like, we did one of these. Why don't we do one of these? Like, I'm just trying to balance vibes, if that makes sense, which is not really how you run an editorial platform. However, I just feel like it works. It's like there needs to be the right flow between a review of a trip and an interview and just like us catching up on regular stuff. And I think we're starting to hit that flow. There are some exciting episodes in the pipeline that add to that balance, but it is like, it's something that just kind of comes together. I'm not mapping things out months in advance. Like we have some episodes slotted in, but it's a lot more fluid than you'd think. And for the podcast, that actually works. What I've realized is that the social media end of what I do professionally is not working, because the amount of times I go on a work trip, I take all this footage, I write down all these ideas for videos, and like not just videos where the means to the end is like, oh, I'm posting this video to like get a follower, to double down on business, to like get a podcast listener. That's not what I'm talking about. It's that I, like my main goal in everything I do is to help people have a better experience when they are going on these trips, because I know firsthand from my first trip how confusing and overwhelming it can be. Now, 10 years later, like I know how expensive it can be. And if you are committing to spending your free time, your money on these vacations that have only gotten more complicated over time, it's really important to me that you have the knowledge you need without having to essentially take a college course to learn how to do all of this. And so from that perspective, I, whenever, like Alaska, a new Disney cruise, Disneyland, Disney World, whenever I go to one of these places, I'm shooting so many videos and writing little notes being like, oh, I have to tell people this and I have to remind them of this. And also if they do this, it's going to make their life easier. And then if they stay here and they do this, like I have so many things I want to tell people, which is my job, to share information. And I just, because it's a video format and it requires editing that is not text-based, I have some internal struggle about it. I just kind of like can't get over the hump of actually doing it. I love to tell stories on the podcast. I love to write things, but it's really personally hard for me to actually put together editing a video. And I've realized that this failure, which I would call it, which I'm, you know, trying to look through for the next 6 months, trying to focus on like, where are areas that I can improve to make myself happier, to like really not be bogged down by fixable problems. A lot of times in your life, there are issues that are not fixable. They're not solvable. You just kind of have to figure out how to move through them. And for me at this moment in time, the health issues aside, the real things that are kind of reigning supreme when it comes to being stressed and things that are weighing on me are things that I have the ability to solve. I just don't want to. And I've realized all of these things are linked because there are things I know I have to do, but I also know I don't want to do them. And I don't make myself do them. It is also taking care of myself. Making doctor appointments for health stuff that I've had since March has taken me months to do, even though I'm always telling people, you got to go to the doctor. You got to go to the doctor. Mom, don't worry. I'm fine, Mom. Like, I keep putting it off and putting it off. And there's another more, I'd say, like, more accessible one when it comes to me taking care of myself, is that I have a lot of physical issues right now. I had a very big baby. We don't have to get into it, but she was 9 pounds and I had a lot of, there was like a, you know what? No, if you listen, if you've gone through this experience, you're like, oh, the details don't bother you. If you haven't, you don't need to hear about it here. You don't. But let's just say physically demanding pregnancy. And now I have a lot of weaknesses and strength issues and postural issues that I can solve, but I avoid doing the physical therapy and the stretches for them because I know I have to do them and I just don't wanna. It's literally the core of all of my issues at the moment. And I'm telling you this because I feel like there's gotta be some of you out there that feel the same way, because I think this is a universal experience. I don't think that this is just a personal thing I'm going through, because I've realized, like, we have been dealing with a lot for a long time. We all collectively lived through a pandemic, a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic, and we moved on. We just lived through it and shoved the trauma down and moved on. It was hard for every single person. It was one of those rare occurrences where all of us were deeply affected by it. And I feel like I carry a lot of that silently with me without acknowledging it, without like working through it. It's just like we have had hard times, and then I don't want to speak in generalizations, but I think a lot of us, even since then, have had a lot more weight to carry. There's so much going on in the world. If you are someone who is affected by that, it can really weigh you down. It feels like everything is moving faster and faster and faster. There is no slowness anymore. It's just more information, more overwhelming, more videos, more things flashing at you when you open your phone. It just feels like things never stop. And for me, this is something that I have control over. I have control over choosing not to do the things I need to do. And to me, and you might relate to this, it feels like it's just that life as an adult is hard. When you're younger, you know, school is hard. School is very hard in all of the ages, either socially or like studying or getting grades or like trying to graduate so that you can like go to college, paying for college, like everything. School is hard. But there was always this built-in break where like school ends, like the school ends and then school begins again. And we don't have that as an adult. We just keep going and going and going and going and going. And it's like, you got to keep like making money to keep things happening. And like the cyclical nature of being an adult is really challenging. And to me, it just feels like a little bit of a rebellion to push back against the things that I have to do. And so there's things I have to do. I have a child. I have to be making sure we have diapers ordered. I have to be like signing up for school and like making sure all that's in order. But I don't have to do my hip mobility stretch. I don't have to make a video that I know is going to take a lot of editing when I can just hang out for an hour and scroll through my phone. And it's these little rebellions I keep stumbling upon that are just like a little reward for me, where it's like everything is overwhelming. Everything is hard. Everything is expensive. Everything is more difficult than it used to be. But if I just kind of, you know, take a little time for myself, that's my little version of self-care. And like, I know I should be making videos explaining the reasons why you should book this Disney trip, or like the pros and cons of booking an Alaska cruise, like little educational videos. That's what I really love to do. But I'd rather just yell into my phone and have fun. These days, I'm in pursuit of fun. Any little grain that I can get, even if it's a little video, even if I'm like just, ooh, taking 10 minutes and just scrolling through and being delighted. Scrolling is underrated. I know we're not supposed to be scrolling on our phones that much, but you know what? Scrolling's awesome. It really is. And I know I'm about to tell you that I'm trying to be off my phone more, but to me, I think like if you kind of hone in, if you spend like a little time scrolling through stuff, you can learn, you can be exposed to different people, different ways of life that you couldn't before, different cultures, different places. I rarely open TikTok. I opened it the other day and I got sucked into a hole, which is bad. It's bad for ADHD, but I got sucked into a hole about all of these different trips people were doing in Vietnam, which I don't know anything about visiting Vietnam, but it was so cool to be like, I'm just standing in my kitchen eating some rice, like, I was just like eating dinner. It was like rice and chicken. It was really good. It was coconut rice and chicken. Anyway, I was just standing eating dinner being like, oh my God, like I'm just looking at these high def beautiful videos of people's little trip diaries to Vietnam. And like, that's nice. Like, I think that's a really nice thing to have in my life. But I am knowingly also using that to avoid the things I want to do. And getting over that hump is really a struggle for me. So the reason I am talking about this on our podcast, because we're going to talk about Disney stuff shortly, I promise. But the reason I'm talking about this is because if you can at all relate to what I'm talking about, I want to pose something to you, which I am doing myself for the rest of the year. I'm like committed to it for the rest of the year as much as someone who can't commit to things can commit to it. And that is, whenever I want to avoid something, a little something, like putting something back in the trunk of my car, washing a dish that I don't want to wash, actually putting in the effort to be like, oh, I should have vegetables in the house because then I would eat them. Like all I've eaten for the past 24 hours is focaccia and croissants and a vegetable sandwich, which had no protein in it. I shouldn't have ordered it. Like all of these things that would set me up for success. When I have those things that I usually avoid and be like, I'll do it later. I don't want to do it. I tell myself, what would the 2026 version of me do? Like, if I stick to these small improvements, and we're talking small things, just small little mental changes, and just really do what I want or what I, do what I need to make the real goals I have pay off. Like, I don't want to live in pain. I don't want to be stressed leaving the house. Packing a bag in advance would sure be helpful. Like, if I do the small things that have a real payoff that I just can't get over that execution hump of now, if I start doing that now, they'll be routine by 2026. Like, 6 months from now, if I'm always putting stuff back in my car that I don't want to walk the 5 steps in my car. If I just do it now, I'll just be a person who naturally does it without thinking about it. So the next time, if you are also kind of struggling with, I don't know, also this applies to like cleaning out that room you don't want to clean out, organizing that drawer, cleaning out your closet because a lot of your clothes no longer serve you, things like that. If you have that stuff weighing on you, because it is all weighing on me, just weighing on me. If you feel the same about anything like that in your life, join me in this, I don't want to call it a challenge because I may never mention it again, but just join me in this perspective shift of what would the 2026 version of me do? And I think it will help just kind of push through what's making us kind of just get through the sludge and not want to do it. Because a lot of these things that we don't want to do, a lot of these errands, a lot of these chores, they take 2 seconds. They take like 10 minutes. They take less than an hour a lot of times. I have to return something that I haven't been wanting to return. It would take me 12 minutes and it's just weighing on me. Like the weight cost of it is beyond 12 minutes of writing it down on to-do lists and never actually doing it. So we have 6 months to get there. And we're going to get there together. And I know this is a little different from what we usually talk about, but I felt like I had to mention it because it's really what is going on in my brain. Like, I can't stop thinking about like, oh, I have the power to really improve my mental health, my physical health, all of this stuff. If I make the tiniest of changes, like stretching, like taking off my Apple Watch. I took off my Apple Watch. I stopped wearing my Apple Watch. I've been an Apple Watch devotee for so many years. And I was this week, I was like, you know what? I think I'm looking at my phone too much. I took it off. Changed my life. I truly like just not having a screen on me that I glance at, gone. And I have actually, there's a negative to it. I have walked less because I don't have the reminders to stand. It's not reminding me to move as much. And I am curious how much that'll affect me moving physically going forward. But it really has helped. I think there's a lot of small improvements there that I can just kind of, you know, switch things up with. So that's basically it. That's the majority of what I've been up to. In the coming weeks, I'm going to be going to New York. My plans are kind of in flux because like family, toddler, travel. But I am going to try to go to the Mission Impossible exhibit. And I think it's in the Museum of the Moving Image. I have like one little window where I think I can get it in. I'm hoping to do that. There's a few other things I'm hoping to do in New York that are new to me. But really, I'm going to be out of town and then I come back. And then there is a tentative trip that I am excited to share with you. It is not booked yet. It is not finalized, but it's not a Disney trip, but it would include a little visit to Disney World, which I mentioned this, I don't know if it was to subscribers or not, but I booked a few nights at Disney before this other trip and I booked Yacht Club and I found a room at Yacht Club for $390 before fees. $390 to Yacht Club. So I booked that. I'm like really hoping that everything works out where I can get that stay. possibly extend at the other end, maybe go to Universal, maybe stay at a few other hotels that I haven't visited. Really hoping to do more Disney stuff going forward. I will be at Disneyland on Disneyland's birthday. So if you see me, say hi. I don't know if I'm going to see, that's the day that the Walt Disney audio animatronic officially debuts. Press will be covering it a few days earlier. I will not be there, but it will be to the public on July 17th, which is next week. I am looking forward to seeing it, but I don't know if I'm going to see it that day because I'm sure the lines will be long, 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 long. And I kind of just want to vibe and enjoy my day with my friends, to be honest. I will get there eventually. I'm local, but I'm not. Listen, it could be like a robot of anything. I'm not waiting in a long line for a robot. I'm just not doing it. That's not how I'm going to spend my Disney day. I'm sorry. I will see it. It'll be there forever. We will see videos of it even before I am there. So I'm excited for that. And then there's some other stuff in the works for the rest of the year. So a lot of travel, some special guests coming up. People who are like people who create things that we adore that aren't often seen in media. That is, I think, the hint for a few of the people we have coming up, which I'm very excited about. And yeah, that's it. If you have any calls, we're going to do a Churros Hotline episode, which I know I say all the time, but then like other things pop up where I'm like, oh, I'd rather do this here and I'd rather do that there. Again, ambiguous scheduling. I'm doing my best. It's just, it works. It works. I used to be very rigid about the schedule and now I'm like, it just straight up works to just kind of flow with it and have things slotted in. And if they change, they change. It's just made, it's made the rollout of episodes more easy. And as you can see, we have podcasts all the time now. I know last time I said that we had to take a week off. I pray that doesn't happen again. But there's a lot to be excited about with Very Amusing with the Musapalooza. So stay tuned for details. I hope you liked this episode. Just chit-chatting with my pals. And I will see you next week with a totally different episode. Oh, thank you for listening. Even though this isn't the outro, I felt like I should say that. Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye. And we're back with Becky.
And of course, I'm not done yet because we've covered the globe. We've covered.
I just picture you spinning like a deals, deals, deals sign.
It's so hard because right now there's so many incredible deals in travel across the board, and these are just a few, so it is hard to pick, but I do want to pull out a couple of ones that have been going on for a while, but they might wrap up at any time. For example, Walt Disney World has been running the Get a Free Dining Plan for kids ages 3 to 9 for arrivals in 2026. I mean, in 2026 for the entire year. It doesn't have a book by date, which means they can pull this offer at any time. So if it's something that you're really interested in, I would say hop on it while you can.
Wow. Free food. That's through the, you could be planning your holiday trip 2026 and get a handle on that promotion.
Exactly.
Wow.
The other one that I want to make sure everyone knows about, because right now Disneyland is celebrating its 70th, and we've all seen all the cute merch and all the cute food and all the cute things that Disneyland's also running. They're save up to 20% off if you book by July 31st for travel through August 15th. So there's still a good month and a half for you to go in and enjoy Disneyland, which is going to be all over the place with the new attractions that are opening up in mid-July.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Becky. And for anyone wanting to plan a trip, reach out to Mouse Fan Travel. Tell them I sent you. We have the link in the show notes. I keep yapping about it. But they will help you plan your trip. They will make sure that you get the best price possible. I know, because I'm tooling around on that website a ton. And then I talk to my travel agent and all my problems are solved immediately.
And that's what we do. We'll see you soon.
Bye. Thank you.
Hi, Carly. This is Tella calling from New Orleans. And my husband and I are going on a road trip this summer, and we're going through Wisconsin, and I have this vague, faint tickling of a memory where you talked about the Wisconsin Dells, and I have looked through your episodes, and I cannot find an episode about the Wisconsin Dells. Did I dream it? Why would I have even heard of Wisconsin Dells if it wasn't because of you? I don't know, but if you can point me in the right direction or a guide or something, I would love to know what we need to do. We've got 2 days there, and I want to use them wisely. Thank you so much. Love the pod.
Here's the deal, people. If you call the Churros Hotline about Wisconsin Dells, my favorite place in the entire world, I know I love Disney, but it's kind of like tied for one. Before it was Wisconsin Dells number one, before I did this, Wisconsin Dells was number one for a long time. I mean, obviously, like, Disney parks have taken over, but Wisconsin Dells is kind of my one true love, like my OG, like, you know, like my high school boyfriend, that is Wisconsin Dells. And if you call the Churros hotline about Wisconsin Dells, I'm sorry, but it will be bumped to the top of the list. I will be answering it immediately because there was another call I was going to answer. I'm so sorry, but I have to answer this, especially since it's summertime, which is when Wisconsin Dells thrives. So we have not done a full episode on Wisconsin Dells yet because I haven't been there since I started the podcast. My last trip there was before the pandemic, I think. No. I went with my brother. Was that during, after? Were there masks? Oh my gosh. All of time has just shrunk. But I am hoping to go to Wisconsin Dells again in the future, possibly in the next year or so. So a full episode will be coming, but I need to go back because things change so often there. I just need to like go and check back in about all my faves if we dedicate a full episode to it. However, I will be giving you a guide, just a little hit list of stuff you got to do. Now, if you are going to Wisconsin, I feel like you got to go to Madison. Madison, a fantastic city. Wisconsin Dells is like, what, like 45 minutes? 45 minutes? Milwaukee, also incredible. If you can go to a Brewers game, whoo, they have, the mascots are little sausages and they race. They race. It is incredible. The merch for the sausage race when I've been, fantastic. Just listen, Wisconsin's like low-key my favorite state, okay? I'm not from there, but I kind of wish I was because I love it so much. When it comes to Wisconsin Dells, also there's a Jelly Belly factory on the way. When you're I don't know your path. I don't know your driving path, but there's a Jelly Belly factory. They no longer produce the Jelly Bellies there. However, they have a great Jelly Belly store and you can buy a bag of belly flops, which are misshapen jelly belly beans, which is really fun. It used to be $5. I'm sure it's not anymore. I bet it's like $13.99, but it's a big old bag. And I remember like my best friend Reba, her dad would like have them after a trip sometimes and just like be in her house eating so many belly flops. Okay, back to Wisconsin Dells. Also, once you cross the Wisconsin border, you are going to want to drink Spotted Cow beer. If you are a beer drinker or you're like, you know, you have alcoholic beverages, if you are open to one, I am not a beer drinker, but I drink Spotted Cow 100% whenever I'm in Wisconsin. It's very good and you can only get it in Wisconsin. We theme park people love an exclusive. It's wonderful. Can't recommend it enough. So, so good. When it comes to Wisconsin Dells, it is basically like Vegas for children. There are go-karts. There are water parks that you've only seen in like those documentaries on cable TV. There are themed hotels. There's so many things, but the one thing you have to do if you go to Wisconsin Dells, I mean, you got to go to Noah's Ark. It used to be like family. We'll save it for the episode. I'll streamline it. Noah's Ark is the water park I would recommend you go to. There is so much stuff there. There's so many, like go to more than one water park. It's a totally normal thing to do to go to more than one. But you have to go to the Paul Bunyan Lumberjack Shanty. Not the Lumberjack Show. I have never been to the Lumberjack Show. I've been weirdly opposed to it. But now that I went to the Lumberjack Show as part of my Alaska cruise, I'm like maybe into it. Like I might do it next time. But when I was at that Lumberjack Show, I was like, oh my God, I got to get back to Wisconsin Dells. I was like texting my family being like, can I tack this onto a Chicago trip? I have to go to Wisconsin Dells. I miss it so much. And this restaurant, this Lumberjack Shanty, hold on one second. I'm so sorry. I got so excited. I like ran out of air. It's like I go for breakfast. I've gone for dinner when I was a child. It's not the same. You go for breakfast. They're just putting down family style plates. If it's still the way it was, which I'm 99% sure it is. I did go during COVID because I got food to go. I have been to Wisconsin Dells recently. What was I thinking not doing an episode? Did I do an episode? Anyway, I guess we're just kind of doing it now. You want to go there. And even if you need to eat there, but if you don't eat there, they have these powdered sugar donuts, like cinnamon donuts that you have to get. They sell them and you can take them away. You can just get them to go. That is the ticket. That is the best thing at Paul Bunyan's Lumberjack Shanty restaurant. I don't want to overwhelm you with stuff. Denny's Diner, great. Oh my God, there's like pizza. Oh my God, there's so many. Listen, I don't want to overwhelm you, but that is a must. Also, you got to just drive through. You got to see it. It's wonderful. It's so wonderful. Have so much fun. I hope you end up going and enjoy the beautiful state of Wisconsin. It's a wonderful place, especially in summertime. And I love it so, so very much. Thank you for calling. Okay, last thing. I can't record this without also talking about Pizza Pub. I tried to blow past it, but I can't. Pizza Pub, incredible pizza. I've been going there since I was a kid. Like that's what we'd get pub. Like that was the pizza we would get when we were like at camp, when we were working at camp, when I went back as an adult. Pizza Pub, fantastic pizza. I wish I could remember the exact pizza I got the last time I was at camp. My overnight camp was like 5 seconds from Wisconsin Dells. That's why I've been going there forever. The pizza I got, I feel like there was like fresh garlic and jalapenos and maybe spinach and like one other thing. It was black olives. I think that was my wackadoo pizza I ordered and we ate it around the campfire and other people were like, it's not gonna be good. And it was so good. Pizza Pub, they deliver if you want to get a pizza to your hotel room. Anyway, yeah, we got to do an episode of Wisconsin Dells, don't we? I mean, I may have just done it, but we gotta have so much fun. I'm so jealous. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to this little gab sesh hang of Very Amusing. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. Truly every rating matters. Thank you so much to everyone who's done it already. And if you haven't, please, we'd love for you to. You can give us a call at 747-CHURROS. Anytime, truly anytime. And also, if you call and you're like, oops, I goofed, it's fine. Just call back. I will know. If you call twice, I know what happens. I listen to the first one and then you go, ah, and then you re-record. I got it. Totally fine. You can also text me if you're like, sorry, girly, I messed up. Totally fine. 747 churros. Let it be a place to grow more comfortable with being on the phone, because I also feel uncomfy calling people because it is a different time. So it's fine. Call us. We'd love to have your calls. If you are thinking about planning a trip to anywhere we discuss on this podcast, Disney World, Disneyland, Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, but also like truly anywhere, reach out to Mouse Fan Travel. They support our show. They help make Very Amusing possible. I adore them. I recommend them. And they do it all. Oh, also like Epic Universe, Universal, anything. I use them as my travel agent. I wouldn't if I didn't think they rocked. And I love partnering with them because I just think they're the best. I just think they're best. Follow me at Carly Wiesel on Instagram, on TikTok, on all the little things. And join the FOMALY at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. For 99 cents a month, you can subscribe to my Instagram. I'm posting stuff like almost every day, just hanging, just chilling, just, you know, it's like a group chat, but it's video and we have like a little community there and it's really nice. I really enjoy it, especially after a trip. I do a lot of Q&As. I talk about stuff there that I don't talk about publicly often. So if you have 99 cents a month, you want to try it, give it a shot. This episode was edited methodically by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, hon, it's Mom. Just getting back from L.A. I miss you already. I had a great day with you and Pearl at Disneyland. We made it like a 9 or 10 rides. It was so much fun. And your Pearl is a trooper. She kept going and going and going. She never cried. She is 100% you. Shout out to that sweet young couple that we saw that yelled out the window, "Hi, Carly." They're Very Amusing listeners. And they were so cute and so sweet. Happy 7th anniversary to you both. Ashley Eckstein, what can I say about her? She is everything you described her as. She's the sweetest and the kindest person. I've met her a couple of times, and I just love her. But seeing Disney and Star Wars merging together, and she was there at that moment, she is iconic, okay? And friends with Quasimodo, crack me up, at 16, while working at Disney Hollywood Studios, is hysterical. Alice in Wonderland collection designed by Ashley. She really is Alice. I'm always going to look at her that way. 40 rides on her 40th birthday, the girl should have a medal from Disney, for sure. I love that. Goals achieved. Wow. And you know what? In a word, how I feel about Ashley, she's so real. She is so refreshing. I just adore her. Great episode, honey. I love you, Carly, so much. And I love you, Pearl, so, 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 so much. Talk soon. Bye, honey.